I wonder how you felt approaching a new year. Nikki and I were in Swansea, and my parents went to bed before midnight. My younger brother and his girlfriend were staying, and I said to Nikki, should we not stay up? She wanted us to stay up, and we celebrated the new year, and a few minutes past midnight, I went to bed. Well, we went to bed. I didn't leave you downstairs. I wonder how you felt when that number changed. Was there expectation for you about a new beginning, and you were excited about starting a new year, or was there actual a bit of nervousness and vulnerability? What challenges will come in the year ahead? Maybe you're a bit like me, and there's a mixture of feelings, mixture of thoughts as we step into 2024. If you are in business, maybe you've come across this word before, VUCA. And it's the world is described as a volatile place, an uncertain place. There's lots of ambiguity, and there are so many complexities in the world. And maybe the life that you have lived in 2023, and as we step into 2024, it feels a bit VUCA-like. Not VUCA-like. You can get a cream for that. VUCA-like, you can't get a cream for. And we step into a year of celebration where I want us to be seeing so many people turning and believing in Jesus. So we celebrate with a celebration that's going on in heaven as people turn and believe in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And we celebrate what God has done. And we've got all of this stuff going on. We've got Narnia coming up. We've got Alpha. We've got the bereavement course. We've got a comedy night on the 19th of April. If you didn't know about that, it's in the booklet. You can take a booklet, have a read, give it to a friend. I told you I'd preach the notices. We've got an event on the Common after feast day. We've got so many things going on that are trying to reach out to people. And with the busyness of things, we might feel a bit vulnerable. And I believe that the verse for the year is going to speak in not just today as a vision kind of message, but we'll speak into our lives time and time and time again as we go through 2024. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's found in the book of Hebrews. If you don't have a Bible with you, please turn one on or pop up your hand and someone in a blue top will get to you one. If you don't have a Bible at home, in the welcome area just in the foyer, there's a pile of Bibles. Please take one. If you know someone who needs a Bible, please take one. There are some at the back. Edwina, if we run out at the back, there's a box of brand new Bibles just in the corner there as well. I want you to look in Scripture, because we're going to look through the book of Hebrews today, not just at this one verse. And as we look at this verse and in the book of Hebrews and some other passages in Scripture, I want us to get excited by the immutable God. Now, none of you got excited about that. In theology, in doctrine, we use a phrase called immutability or immutable. That doesn't mean that you're not able to mute and turn down the sound on God, but it means that God doesn't change. And I want us to get excited by grasping hold of the fact that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. And he is alive now, and just as alive now as he was on that resurrection Sunday. Why do we need to get excited about this? Because I believe God wants us to wake up more and more as a church towards his greatness. First song that we sang about was about God's greatness. Second song about the great story of Jesus coming in, coming to this earth. The next song about God's great holiness forever and ever. The next song was about his wonderful name, his beautiful name, his powerful name. We're a group of people who get excited about Jesus. But sometimes a truth about God can stay in the head and not permeate every single cell of our bodies. And Jesus wants every single part of us to get excited about the fact that he is the same. Who remembers what I gave to Avtar on Christmas morning? Socks. He had socks the year before, and the year before that, and the year before that. Socks are same presents. But boy, are they helpful. Sometimes things being the same is not just reassuring and practically useful. Sometimes things being the same, and especially with God, is absolutely crucial, not to just hold on to and know in your head, but to actually get excited about. And in this verse, verse 8 of chapter 13, we see that Jesus is unchanging. He remains the same in his essence, his character, his power, his purposes. Yesterday, the Greek word there talks about a non-specific length of time in the past that could still be recalled in the present. Who remembers 250 years ago? None of us. King George III was on the throne. That's interesting, isn't it? Cameras hadn't yet been invented. I've talked about that bit. None of us remember back then. And the Hebrews, that the author of this book, the letter to the Hebrews, were Jewish believers that were in the past. But they were in a period of time close to when Jesus was alive, close to when Jesus died and resurrected and went to heaven. So they were in living memory of Jesus. And we know that for a few reasons. First of all, in chapter 10, the writer to the Hebrews is writing to a group of people that they're assuming that the temple is still around. The temple was a place in Jerusalem that God had established with his people for them to come to there to worship him, to bring sacrifices to him so that they could meet with him and be cleansed by him and things like that. In 70 AD, the Romans flattened the temple in Jerusalem. This letter was written before 70 AD. So when the writer uses this word yesterday, they're recalling stuff that they can remember in their own lifetime. And they can remember yesterday, a time when Jesus was walking and talking and ministering on this earth. We don't have that. We don't have that yesterday from in terms of experiencing first century Israel and Jesus walking and talking there. Our forefathers, as it were, church members who started the church 250 years ago, they didn't have that. But they did have this passage which tells us and told them that Jesus is the same today as he was then. This very, very day, 7th of January, 2024. And he's the same today as he will be forever. Now, it might be that you think, yeah, that's quite good. Theology, doctrine, into the head, that's really good. What I believe God wants us to do and to be is to get so excited about him that we unleash in our lives, in this church and in this community, the full greatness of who he is. John and Sally Wallace, where are you? There we go. You were the missing jigsaw piece in sermon preparation. I was praying through today's passage last night at about 10 o'clock, similar to Stuart's as well. You sent this through, and the timing of it was like, wow, that fits in just there. Jason Petty is an American, he's a Christian American rapper, also known as Propaganda. This quote, I don't know his other work, but this quote John and Sally Wallace sent through to me. Trying to prove God is like trying to defend a lion. He doesn't need your help. Just unlock the cage. Just unleash the reality of the greatness of Jesus. Unleash the excitement of Jesus permeating every aspect, every cell of your body, every part of your life. And people will see how great he is. Yes, there are times where we provide answers. But I believe God is wanting to say to us, get excited about who he is. Please turn with me to the beginning of the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. And if you're anything like me or my daughter Kyra, so in the first service I had to show her where the book of Hebrews is. Two-thirds of the Bible, if you take the Bible, two-thirds of it is roughly is about the Old Testament. And then if you flipped to about two-thirds of the New Testament, you'll find the book of Hebrews. If you come to the book of James or Revelation, you've gone too far, turn back a little bit and you'll find the book about making a cup of tea. It took a few people a little while. In chapter 1, and I want us to get really excited about this, because when the author writes to the Hebrews, to this group of Jewish believers, followers of Jesus, he wants them to get excited about Jesus. He wants them to understand that he is great, and not just great, but he is the greatest. I want us to find Jesus riveting. As one Life Group WhatsApp conversation went this week, this weekend, we need to find Jesus riveting, absorbing, mesmerizing, captivating, compelling, intriguing, enchanting, enthralling, engrossing, enticing. Because as we do that, as we get to know him more and more and more and allow him to permeate every aspect of who we are, the world will see his greatness and turn and believe. In the plane's about to take off, sorry. In chapter 1, we see in the first few verses that the Son is the exact representation of God the Father. If you want to know what God the Father is like, we look at Jesus. And when we see this verse, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, we know from chapter 1, verse 3, that Jesus is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. If we want to know what God is like, we look at Jesus. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Therefore, God the Father is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That should be reassuring to each of us. That God himself doesn't change. That the Father is the same. As we go through chapter 1, we see that Jesus is greater than all angels. Now, Christmas we've just had, and we often have cute angelic beings. But when we had the brunch at Bethlehem, you remember it? Guy Parkin, where are you? Stand up, please, Guy. You were angelic, weren't you?
Yes.
Yes. You can't remember back then. No, you can. And he's a tall guy, warrior-looking guy. The angels in Scripture are people who burn with holiness and passion and excitement and are warriors for God. More like Guy than a cheap... more like Guy than a cute little child on a stage. Thank you, Guy. And Jesus is greater than them, more powerful than them, more holy than them. That's just chapter 1. Chapter 2, we see that Jesus is greater, he's the greatest human. He is fully human, yet fully God, and fully holy. In chapter 3, we see that he's greater than Moses and all the law that has gone through, and the Jewish people have followed the law of Moses for generations and generations, and Jesus comes, and the author is saying, Jesus is greater than that law. He fulfills it. He, on the cross, says that it is done, it is accomplished, it is finished. I have fulfilled the law. And this passage in chapter 3 is saying that Jesus is greater than the law. He's the great and perfect sacrifice for sin. In chapter 4, he's the great rest, perfect Sabbath rest for God's people. I wonder if you are already tired. You've started 2024 and you are already tired. What does Jesus say, who's the same yesterday, today, and forever? He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Maybe this new year, you are to accept that invite of Jesus because his rest is a better rest. It's a greater rest, chapter 4. As we go through chapter 5 and 4, 5 and 6, he is the great high priest. He's the greatest promise. He's the greatest hope and certainty. He's the greatest king in chapter 7. He's the greatest mediator between humanity and heaven in chapter 8. In chapter 9 and chapter 10, he establishes a new way of worshiping, not at a physical temple, but we're worshiping God, not needing to be in a certain place, but we're worshiping the person because he has done it all. So it isn't about going somewhere to do something. It's about celebrating that he has done everything. And as we go through, and as the original readers of this letter would have gone through, they would have thought, yeah, Jesus is greater than that, and greater than that, and greater than that. And we get to chapter 10, where we see that his sacrifice is once and for all. It's the greatest sacrifice, and we are called to hold on and to keep on holding on and to keep on being faithful. Chapter 11 gives us example after example after example of people who have carried on in faith. We get to chapter 12, which I believe, Helen and Mark, was this the passage you looked at last week? In Hebrews chapter 12, where it says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's throw off everything that hinders us and so easily entangles us so that we can run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We get to this point in the book of Hebrews, and we've heard that Jesus is the greatest. He's just the greatest. He's incomparable. And we're to fix our eyes on him. And then that we get in chapter 12 and the beginning of chapter 13 some practical, pithy statements like, keep the marriage bed pure. Love one another. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. Remember your leaders. Remember that God is with you. But hidden just at the end of chapter 12, we see that there's going to be a shaking up of things. And I don't know whether you want that, because 2020 was a bit shaking up enough. 2021 as well. 2022, we're still settling now. But let's leave COVID in the past and just look at a world that is volatile, uncertain, ambiguous. And there are so many complexities in it. And God is saying, hold on. Hold on during these shaking and worship me. God is saying, worship God with reverence and awe. How do we do that? By having a fresh and a compelling focus on Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In verse 9 of chapter 13, it says, don't get carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. God's word is to be held onto. Don't get carried away by things. See that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and his teaching is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hold on to what it says in God's words. And what we're going to do is not just have good doctrine and hold on to God, good doctrine, but what we're going to do is realize that in Scripture, we have yesterday's story that points out to eternity's story and also what our current reality should be. And as I prayed about this morning, I asked God, what stories from the past do you want to highlight in our present so that we hold on to them now and encounter you through them now and into the future? So I want to share with you some encounters that people had with Jesus in the Gospels that won't just be good doctrine or a verse to hold on to, but that it'll be something to live and encounter. The first one, in Mark chapter 5, we see Jesus' ability to bring perfect peace to someone who was so disturbed. There was a guy in Mark chapter 5, he was possessed by so many demons that they would call themselves Legion. There were so many of them. And he was chained and bound, but he broke the chains and the ropes and things and lived amongst the graveyards. And he would kind of tear his clothes and tear his skin and things. And Jesus met with him and cast out that demon and the demons. And the people of the area said, "Go away from here, Jesus." I believe that God wants to say to some people here today, stop pushing me away, but allow my power in. Don't be afraid of how powerful I am. Don't keep me at a distance, but allow my full power to come in you and through you. He is able to bring perfect peace because he is powerful. In a similar way, there's a question in Matthew chapter 4. Jesus is asleep on a boat and the disciples wake him up and they ask him a question, and I believe that God's Holy Spirit is highlighting this question because it's a question in people's minds or some people's minds today, either in this room or online. They ask him, "Do you not care? You're asleep, Jesus. Yes, you're the Prince of Peace. Yes, you're the source of peace, but do you not care that we drown?" And for some people, I believe Jesus wants to say in a massive megaphone voice, "I care for you. I love you. I love you. I love you. And I will stop the storms that you are going through. And until I stop them, I am with you." So in answer to that question that you may be asking God, do you care? The answer is yes, 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 I'm with you. In this story, he says, "Be calm, be still," and the wind and the waves obey him. Maybe in a moment or two, God is going to minister to you by his Holy Spirit and say, "Be calm, be still," in Jesus' name. That same power is here. If you're on the Friday evening Zoom prayer time, I shared this story and we asked Jesus to highlight different things. But one of the things he was highlighting to me on Friday afternoon as I prayed about this passage, there's a widow in Luke chapter 7, and she's coming out of this village called Nain, small village, and everyone's with her, mourning with her because she's not just lost her husband, but they're going out to bury her son, her only son. And Jesus goes up and says, "Don't cry." And he reaches out and touches the dead body. And in verse 15 of Luke chapter 7, it says, "And the boy got up and started to talk." And in verse 16, it says, everyone was like puzzled. It's not just that everyone puzzled, I would be freaked out completely. There's another half to verse 15, and it says this: Jesus gave the boy back to his mother, and it was these words that God was really highlighting for me to share with some people this morning. And I believe that it's especially for, I believe it's especially for people who have prodigals in their lives, where people who have had living faith in Jesus, but for whatever reason, that faith has died. We're going to pray them back. And Jesus will give that person back to himself and then to you. Jesus gave the boy back to his mother. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He did that then. We pray he will do that now. I'm a mess. I've been a mess with these passages the last few days. John chapter 4 and John chapter 8, there were two women who were under condemnation by people because they had sinned. They had gone away from God's way, and I believe that there are people here this morning who God wants to say, your sin matters. Your sin matters to me. I'm not just going to ignore it. Jesus didn't ignore the woman at the well's sin or the woman caught in adultery's sin. And they learnt in the encounter that they had with him that their sin mattered to God. But even more so, they learnt that they mattered to God. Your sin matters to God, and he wants you to know that this morning. He also wants you to know that you matter to him. In Mark chapter 2, a man who can't walk is lowered through a ceiling, and Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. Jesus declares over you today, if you turn and believe in him, your sins are forgiven. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You who have wandered. I believe Jesus' invite that he has for his disciples to just hang out with them. He wants you to hang out with him, to take time with him. There are so many passages that we could use with this next one. I believe God wants people to know that he is sufficient. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is preaching on a mountainside, and he's saying to people loads of different things. He's saying about his holiness remaining the same, and God's word and the moral law staying the same. And we get to Matthew chapter 6, and he says, don't worry. Don't worry. Look at the birds of the air and the flowers of the field, and how God looks after them. In John chapter 6, verse 68, Simon Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? We've got no one else. You have the words of eternal life. I believe God wants people to know this morning that he is sufficient for you. He is enough for you. And if you have him, you have everything you need. He is El Shaddai. He is God Almighty. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is to be celebrated. This is to be known in our heads, but even more so lived out and experienced and encountered. So we're going to do that now. We're going to pray. The band are going to come and lead us in a song that says, I believe in Jesus. I believe that he is the Son of God. I believe that he died and rose again. I believe that he paid for us all. That first verse, if you are not yet a follower of Jesus, if you have wandered from God or have never come to God, and you say these words, I believe in Jesus, I believe he is the Son of God, I believe he died and rose again, I believe he paid for us all. That's basically saying that you believe in the forgiveness of sins and that he can forgive your sins. And I wonder if this morning, today is going to be this morning is going to be a time where you will say that for the first time. And then as the song goes on, it says, and I believe that you're here now, standing in our midst with the power to heal and the grace to forgive. I want us to be up for this. To actually get up and move and be prayed with and prayed for, that God will bring healing and restoration, that he will help us to find him riveting, to find him compelling and to be so excited about him. So let's pray. Can I invite you to stand? Jesus, we know you are restorer. You are healer. You are peace bringer. You are my sufficiency. You are here with us. You are the forgiver. I believe, God, that you are here with us by your Holy Spirit, and you have the grace to forgive and the power to heal. Minister to us. For those in this room or online who have not yet turned and believed in you, Jesus, I pray that today they will. And may they use similar words that I'm going to pray now to help them do that. Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner and I need forgiveness. I need a new beginning and a fresh start. And at the beginning of this year, I choose to take that. And you are the only one that can give me that. I believe that you died and rose again for me. Forgive my sins and fill me with your Holy Spirit so I can follow you and become more and more like you, doing what you did and doing what you do. Amen. If you have prayed that prayer, please can you let me know? I'd love to celebrate with you. And as we pray through the song, God, move by your Holy Spirit. Give us boldness to respond and not to just say, oh yeah, I'll do that later. Thank you that you are here and you want to meet with us. Amen.